जैया जशोदनंदना जया ब्रज जन रंजना जया ब्रज जन रंजना जया ब्रज जन रंजना जशोदनंदना जया ब्रज जन रंजना जया ब्रज जन रंजना जमुना तीरा बना छारे जया कुंज बिहारे जया जमुना तीरा बना छारे जया कुंज बिहारे जया जमुना तीरा बना चारे जया राधा माधवा जया कुंज बिहारे जया राधा माधवा जया कुंज बिहारे जया कुंज बिहारे गोपी जना बालाबा जया गिरिभरा धारे जया गिरिभरा धारे गोपी जन बालाबा जया गिरिभरा धारे जया गिरिभरा धारे जशोदनंदना जया ब्रज जन रंजना जया ब्रज जन रंजना जशोदनंदना जया ब्रज जन रंजना जया ब्रज जन रंजना जमुना तीरा बना चारे जया कुंज बिहारे बना चारे जमुना तीरावना चारे जैया कुंजा बिहारे जैया राधा माधवा जैया कुंज बिहारे जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजाचार्य स्तोत्र शतशिमाधि दिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की इस्कॉन फाउंडर आचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की निरंतरा श्रीमन भागवत की ताई गौर प्रेमनंदी ओ ग्लोरिस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरिस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरिस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरिस टू श्री गुरु वंशी गौरंगा
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today we are continuing the chapter entitled Lord Shiva Saves the Universe, and it's Canto 8, Chapter 7, and we're looking at two verses today, text 23 and 24, and 23 is on the board. So, can chant 23 responsively. Gunamaya svashaktasyasya. Sarga siti apyayan vipo. Datse yada svadrik bhuman. Brahma Vishnu Shiva Bidam. Gunamaya svashaktyasya. Sarga siti apyayan vipo. Datse yada svadrik bhum. Brahma Vishnu Shiva Bidam. Gunamaya svashaktasyasya. Sarga siti apyayan vipo. Datse yada svadrik bhuman. Brahma Vishnu Shiva Bidam. Please chant. Guna maya svashaktyasya. Sarga siti apyayan vipo. Datse yada svadrik bhuman. Brahma Vishnu svarabhidam. Guna maya svashaktasya. Sarga siti apyayan vidho. Datse yada svadrik bhuman. Brahma Vishnu svivarvidam. Guna Maya Swashaktyasya Sarga Siti Apyayan Vipo Tatse Yada Swadrik Boman Rama Vishnu Shiva Pitam. The word for word, guna maya, acting in three modes of activity. Svashaktya, by the external energy of your lordship. Asya, of this material world. Sarga Siti Apyayan, creation, maintenance, and annihilation. Vipo, O Lord, Datse, you execute. Yada, when Swadrik, you manifest yourself. Uman, O Great One. Brahma Vishnu Shiva Abhidham. As Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, or Lord Shiva. So the translation is, O Lord, you are self-effulgent and supreme. You create this material world by your personal energy, and you assume the names Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshvara when you act in creation, maintenance, and annihilation. And purport. This prayer is actually offered to Lord Vishnu, the Purusha, who in his incarnations as the Guna Avatar assumes the names Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshvara. And I'll read text 24. Tvam Brahma Paramam Guyam Sadasat Bhava Bhavanam Nana Shaktibir Abhatas Tvam Atma Jagat Ishvaraha. And this translation is, you are the cause of all causes, the self-effulgent, inconceivable, impersonal Brahman, which is originally Parabrahman. You manifest various potencies in this cosmic manifestation. And the purport? This prayer is offered to the impersonal Brahman, which consists of the effulgent rays of Parabrahman. Parabrahman is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Param Brahma Param Dharma Pavitram Paramam Bhavam. When Lord Shiva is worshipped as Parabrahman, the worship is meant for Lord Vishnu. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shlakaya Shakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Rama Padaswami Iti Namine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it's extremely short purports, and I'm going to make an attempt to go through these two verses, particularly perhaps focusing on Lord Brahma, since he heads our Sampradaya, and a lot of his insights. this particular prayer from text 23 Srila Prabhupada states that it is a prayer offered to Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu assumes the names Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara in his incarnations. So to know the supreme cause of the cosmic manifestation, as the Prajapatis do over here, is actually by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has not been induced or impelled in some way to bestow such kindness that allows for this kind of understanding. That kindness that allows for the understanding of that supreme cause of the cosmic manifestation is bestowed by him upon his very pure devotees like Lord Brahma and those in the disciplic succession. And this is particularly a statement that comes from Srila Prabhupada in a discussion that he's having in the third canto and the ninth chapter, the second verse. So this is significant, and I'm bringing it up to start with because it'll lead into everything else. Right here, in this particular case, Lord Brahma, there's a particular reason he's able to see Garbhodakshay Vishnu. And that's because he performed various penances. And so it allowed him to fully apprehend the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he was able to understand the Lord as he is. And he expresses this particular understanding. And he makes a comparison with all the living entities in the material world and his particular position, or what has allowed him to fully understand the Lord as he is, the cause of this whole cosmic manifestation. And these are Lord Brahma's words. He says, "O my Lord, today, after many, many years of penance, I've come to know about you. Oh, how unfortunate the embodied living entities are, that they are unable to know your personality. My Lord, you are the only knowable object, because there is nothing supreme beyond you. If there is anything supposedly superior to you, it is not the absolute. You exist as the supreme by exhibiting the creative energy of matter." And this is from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in the ninth chapter, the first verse. So it's Lord Brahma's full apprehension of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that there's nothing beyond him. So he's the cause of everything. And in particular, Lord Brahma is referring to what qualifies Garbhodakshay Vishnu, because in this particular section that we're reading, it's Garbhodakshay Vishnu that is in the supreme position. So Lord Brahma is saying what qualifies Garbhodakshay Vishnu to be in that supreme position. And it's a particular fundamental thing. He exhibits the creative energy of matter. So matter is something like this. It's not movable, it's not malleable. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or Garbhodakshay Vishnu, he's actually exhibiting that creative energy of matter. So within matter, what's driving it is Garbhodakshay Vishnu's particular creative energy. So Srila Prabhupada explains this particular statement of Lord Brahma by saying that the Lord has employed his wonderful material energy by manifesting it in many, many, many wonderful distractions, he calls it, in the material world. So many beautiful things were created by the creative energy of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And the souls that are subject to the conditions of the material energy, so this is the interesting part, they're actually unable to know the supreme cause of this cosmic manifestation. So there's all these beautiful, Srila Prabhupada used the word distractions, that are the products of the creative energy of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and the poor unfortunate living entities that are subject to the conditions of the material energy, they actually cannot even know the cause of, or the supreme cause of the whole manifestation. So, in the verse that we're looking at, it's this cause, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, who's generating the three executive heads of this material energy or this material nature. So the material energy or the material nature falls into three categories: passion, goodness, and ignorance. And the three deities that control those three aspects of material nature are Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwar, Shiva. So if we take a step to look at this whole manifestation of the of material nature, we can look also at the comparison that's made by Lord Brahma when he's considering both Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and this material nature. So he says, and this is quite a long description, but it's rather interesting, because one doesn't usually have a perfect visual of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So here it is, in Lord Brahma's words, because after all, he actually had the full apprehension of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So here's his description. The luster of the transcendental body of the Lord mocked the beauty of the coral mountain. The coral mountain is very beautifully dressed by the evening sky, but the yellow dress of the Lord mocked its beauty. There is gold on the summit of the mountain, but the Lord's helmet, bedecked with jewels, mocked it. The mountain's waterfall, herbs, etc., with a panorama of flowers, seem like garlands, but the Lord's gigantic body and his hands and legs, decorated with jewels, pearls, tulsi leaves, and flower garlands, mocked the scene on the mountain. Thus, the panoramic beauty of nature is a reflection of the transcendental body of the Lord. The result of being attracted by the beauty of the Lord is that one is no longer attracted by the beauty of material nature. Indeed, the same idea, so one is no longer attracted by the beauty of material nature. And so this is Lord Brahma's particular realization of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, the full apprehension of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And the particular point that he's making is that one is no longer attracted to the beauty of material nature, just having come into contact with the beauty of the Supreme Lord. And a very similar idea is expressed in Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter, the 59th verse, where Krishna says, the embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment through though the taste for sense objects remains. But ceasing enjoyment by experiencing a higher taste, he's fixed in consciousness. So this is Krishna's perspective on those souls that are subject to the conditions of material nature. Some of those souls choose to follow restrictions, rules and regulations, particularly in the different yoga systems. But this is a very different position from those who have a taste for Krishna consciousness. Because the taste for Krishna consciousness, which is tasting something of the beauty of the Lord, is what actually automatically allows for a loss of taste for paler things, meaning things within material nature. And this is a very important point that Lord Brahma is realizing, and Krishna also is mentioning in Bhagavad Gita. And in fact, Lord Brahma, he was extremely satisfied upon observing the magnificent beauty and opulence of the Lord. Now, one has to make a distinction between the generation of Garbhadakshai Vishnu and that of Shiradakshai Vishnu. I mean, this is a little bit technical, although I'm touching on it lightly, but it's present in these two verses. Shiradakshai Vishnu, in contrast to Garbhadakshai Vishnu, who's actually generating Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, and Lord Shiva, who are heading the material nature, Shiradakshai Vishnu, he's actually allowing for numerous Vishnu incarnations. And they're expanding in different ages and in the course, throughout the course of the duration of the cosmic manifestation. So there's a reason for this expansion of Shiradakshai Vishnu, and it's rather different reason for why there's an expansion of the three deities coming from of material nature coming from Garbhadakshai Vishnu. And that is that these expansions of Lord Vishnu coming from Shiradakshai Vishnu, they're actually particularly meant for the transcendental happiness of the pure devotees. And those pure devotees are those whose minds can't be diverted from the lotus feet of Krishna. In fact, their hearts and souls are submerged in Krishna. So it's actually for them that Shiradakshai Vishnu is expanding numerous Vishnu forms. And in fact, one can't even make a comparison between the deities of Brahma, Shiva, with these expansions of Lord Vishnu that are coming from Shiradakshai Vishnu. They're not on the same level. So in the same way that Lord Brahma is becoming aware of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that he has many eternal forms of bliss and knowledge, or he is becoming aware. And he gives a description of this. It's found in the Brahma Samhita. So here's somebody generated from Garbhadakshai Vishnu, who's appreciating that actually there's also from Shiradakshai Vishnu, there's also expansion. So Lord Brahma is aware of everything that's going on in relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so he actually describes his awareness of the other forms of Lord Vishnu being generated. So he says, "I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is non-dual and infallible. He is the original cause of all causes, even though he expands in many, many forms. Although he's the oldest personality, he is ever youthful, unaffected by old age. The Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be known by the academic wisdom of the Vedas. One has to approach the devotees of the Lord to understand him." I'm going to read the Sanskrit because we hear the prayer many times, and it's, I think, significant that Lord Brahma is just realizing everything in relation to the incarnations coming from the two forms of Vishnu. So, Advaitam Achutam Anadi Manantarupam Ajyam Puram Purusham Naveyo Vanam Cha Vedeshu Durlabam Atma Bhakto Govindam Adipursham Tamaham Bhajami. That's the 33rd verse from Brahma Samhita. So he also states it very directly, Lord Brahma, his understanding of these particular expansions coming from Lord Vishnu. He says, this incarnation is the origin of many other incarnations, and I am born from the lotus flower grown from your navel. So he expresses something of even where his origin is. So this is, I realize, maybe a little bit, a lot of things for early in the morning, but this is this particular verse, so I have to proceed. So if we consider the Prajapatis, or their prayers of understanding that are coming in this particular chapter, they also look at the impersonal Brahman. And there's a parallel understanding with the understanding that Lord Brahma has. They see the impersonal Brahman as originally Parabrahman, this is what is stated here, who's originally the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Lord Brahma, he also sees the impersonal Brahman, which is the effulgence of the in the spiritual sky. And the way Lord Brahma is understanding that effulgence in the spiritual sky is that there's no change, and also there's no deterioration in the potency of that impersonal Brahman. And even to have an understanding of that impersonal Brahman, which is what the Prajapatis have here, there has to be a devotional perfection that allows for that kind of understanding. That there's actually no change, meaning that all the kalpas, all the millenniums that go on, there's no change in the Brahmajyoti. It's just eternally there. And actually time is even absent, just by virtue of the fact that there's no change, time is absent. So this Brahmajyoti, which is actually the transcendental rays of the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, isn't influenced by the material energy. So of course we can contrast that Brahmajyoti, which is mentioned in text 24, with the description of the Lord bringing about the creation of Lord Brahma, which was part of the earlier discussion. And Lord Brahma becomes the subsequent creator. He comes to use that material energy through his empowerment by the Lord. So it's actually through Lord Brahma that one can understand that the Lord is the cause of the cosmic manifestation. Because here you're having the very entity that's come from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu describing his particular understanding and his realization. And also, he's not touched by matter. So even Lord Brahma, it's interesting, he sees himself as being proud of his material body and proud of his senses. But still, even with that, he's understanding that the Lord is the creative force of the material energy. So it's only actually through the devotee of the Lord that one can appreciate this particular point. or this understanding of the position of the Lord as the cause of all causes, and has not been touched by matter. So it's very nice. Lord Krishna even gives his particular thoughts on such a devotee, such as Lord Brahma. Those who fix their minds on my personal form and are always engaged in worshipping me with great and transcendental faith are considered by me to be most perfect. So perfect means perfect in understanding, fully apprehending the position of the Lord. So just this exposure to Lord Brahma's understanding can be of assistance to us to accept that position of the Lord as being the cause of all causes. And so in fact, in some sense, we've come full circle because Lord Brahma is somebody whose activities are, even though he's working with the material energy, he doesn't actually have a taste for those things because his devotion and his perfection is the meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So those are some thoughts on these two very short purports, and I'm sorry if it was slightly technical, but that was the nature of these two verses. That was what emerged. So if anybody has some thought or on this particular topic.
I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about the different Vishnus. There's Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Kiryakshaya Vishnu, and Karanadakshaya Vishnu. Some of the differences between these four Vishnus. You didn't mention Karanadakshaya Vishnu. Where do they reside, and what are their activities?
Well, I'm not certainly an expert in this area of creation. So just in reference to the verses we're dealing with, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is responsible for manifesting the deities that are controlling the material world. So Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and also Vishnu is controlling the material world. And then Shiradakshaya Vishnu is the Vishnu that enters into all the gross matter, like the super soul that's animating everything. So usually we don't even think that, you know, super soul enters into a mountain, but indeed even into matter. That's the role of Shiradakshaya Vishnu. And the activity is all coming originally from Mahavishnu, who's generating all the universes through through his breathing. So that is, he's lying on, it's called the causal ocean, and through his breathing the universes are generated. Then in particular, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is allowing for those who are going to be managing or controlling material energy, or particularly the material universes. And then Shiradakshaya Vishnu is entering as super soul, so he's present everywhere within all matter, all entities. So that's a quick, brief description.
Karanadakshaya Vishnu, where does he fall in?
Who?
Karanadakshaya Vishnu. Karanadakshaya Vishnu is the same of Mahavishnu.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for the class. I had a question that you said that the devotees don't want to experience the material nature because it pales in front of comparison to Krishna's.
Can you repeat that?
That the devotees don't want to like the material nature so much because they are they lose the taste for material nature or the attributes of material nature because they are more influenced by Krishna's. By Krishna's nature, and they are more influenced by that, so they don't they lose the flavor for material beauty So I just wanted to ask you that when the gopis say that they don't want to be submerged in the Brahma Jyoti because they want to experience Krishna as a separate person so that they can serve him, then they need the help of material nature for that, right? Because without it, they would just merge into the Brahma Jyoti. So wouldn't they be like more influenced by material nature than by the Brahma Jyoti of Krishna?
The question is a little difficult because there's some confusion I gathered from your question there's three categories of things: material nature, Krishna, and devotees who are not looking to material nature but looking to the beauty of Krishna, and therefore, and this is mentioned in the class, they lose their taste for material nature or anything in material nature. So then your question unfortunately was a little confused, if I may say so, because there was something of the gopis and their wanting to worship Krishna, and something did they not need material nature and not wanting to merge in the Brahma Jyoti. It's very confused, so I can't fully follow. But the gopis certainly fall in the category of being pure devotees. So their existence is in the spiritual realm. They you can put the microphone down. They don't exist in the material realm. So they're in the same realm that Krishna is personally residing, and they're directly serving Krishna. So they've got nothing to do with material nature whatsoever, because the spiritual realm is beyond the material realm. And the Brahma Jyoti is the Vaikuntha planets. So certainly it's part of the spiritual realm, but it's not. And the Brahma Jyoti is described as actually the transcendental rays of the body of the Lord. So everything I've been describing in this class is sort of on a very grand, huge scale. So bringing it to the specific, the gopis are residing in Goloka Vrindavan. They're not residing in the Brahma Jyoti. It's not their place of residence. So the only help that they need, since your question seemed to include what help they needed, the only help the gopis need is the constant remembrance of Krishna's lotus feet. And it's not even help, because that is, they're in that elevated state where it's constant remembrance of Krishna's lotus feet. So that is what's permitting them to serve constantly. So they're not needing, or not needing, they're not in a realm that doesn't include the distractions of material nature, and in a realm that is separate from the Brahma Jyoti.
Hare Krishna. Shiva, Brahma, and Vishnu were described as the governing deities of the three modes of material nature. And I'm unsure of the meaning of the word deities, particularly in this context, or in any context, I guess. What is the meaning of the word deity?
Mm-hmm. Generally, deity is the worshipable form of a particular personality. So, indeed, one can say that Lord Brahma is worshipable, Lord Shiva is worshipable, and Lord Vishnu is worshipable, and their forms of those particular personalities. And in the material world, one comes across those forms that are being worshipped, particularly by persons that are subject to the material energy and are subject to particular nature that falls into one of the three categories of goodness, passion, or ignorance. So generally, the presiding deity refers to the deity that's in charge of a particular aspect of material nature. So Lord Shiva is in charge of that aspect of material nature that falls into ignorance, and Lord Brahma is in charge of that aspect of material nature that falls into passion, the mode of passion, it's the way of being, and Lord Vishnu is in charge of that aspect of material nature that falls into the category of goodness. So it means that the persons whose nature is driven by one of these three ways of being will be attracted in a pious frame of mind to the presiding deity or the worshipable form of the personality that's presiding over that aspect of material nature. So hence one may find that it's quite common persons that are more under the control of the influence of ignorance will be very attracted to Lord Shiva, to the worshipable form of the personality that's overseen the subtle aspect of the way material nature's manifesting itself and in a particular category, and the persons that fall into that category or inclined with that way of being will want to worship that particular personality if there is piety there. Yeah. So that's the way, I mean, the term deity is used, and I think it's implying the worshipable aspect, because a lot of what we were discussing today has to do with the recognition of the necessity for worshipping. You know, acknowledging the position of a particular personality. So the way I understood it was the term deity is specifically used to indicate that necessity of worship, because indeed the whole discussion dealt with recognizing the position of the Lord as the cause of all causes, so his particular position. So hence the other personalities, their position was made clear, and hence the worshipable nature of those personalities is being highlighted. That's how I understood it. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.